The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Transition week here as we say goodbye this week to February and welcome in March. Today being Monday, February 26, 2018, coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. If you would like to join us during the hour, our live line number is 790-2040. And we will get you on the air. Every Monday we begin the Buckmaster Show with our Monday political face-off. Our team of commentators this week is Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And we have Jeff Rogers, the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Had a great weekend. Rode my horse and it was a little chilly, but it was a nice weekend out there.
How old is your horse?
I've got two of them. One of them is 6 and the other one's 14.
So they're considered middle, well, one's kind of a youngster and one's middle-aged.
Pretty much so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bruce, how was your weekend?
Just dandy.
Any gardening?
A lot. My back's sore.
Mm.
And, you know, you've announced Jeff's former position 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've said it a lot. He was like the best Pima County chairman almost of all time. How is it, Jeff, you never ran for state chair?
Hmm.
I was a state vice chair. And
not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. The main reason is because of the amount of travel involved. You know, I'm a sole practitioner running in my own law firm. And, you know, there was no way I could engage in that kind of travel.
I'd tremble on my sneakers if you were state party chairman. I mean that sincerely with a great deal of respect. You know that.
Well, thank you.
You're a very fierce competitor.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at Moe's Gallery on moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We've got no shortage of topics today for the program. Why don't we begin with the big story, certainly that has captivated Tucson, Jeff Rogers, and that is the future pretty much of Arizona basketball coach Sean Miller. I know you follow the basketball very closely. What does the U of A do at this point?
Well, I mean, they've got to engage in some kind of an investigation and try to determine what if any rules were broken and maybe laws were broken. On the plus side for Sean Miller, this stuff all leaked out in September when multiple people were arrested, including his assistant coach, Book Richardson. You would think that if there was anything to implicate Sean Miller in criminal behavior, that he would have been one of the people arrested or charged at that time. And he hasn't been arrested or charged. And this information, it probably comes, as you and I were talking before Bruce got here, when a defense attorney represents somebody in a federal criminal case, they agree to not disclose any of the police reports or audio, video report recordings, all of the what we call disclosure that they receive of the crimes. And so somebody has leaked this out in violation of one of those agreements. And so I wonder what the purpose of it and the timing was and why they did it and who did it. Because you know, as Sean Miller sits here today, he's not accused of anything, any wrongdoing by a law enforcement agency.
Right.
And Mr. Ayton's family's attorney, as well as the U of A's attorney, have all indicated that Ayton was interviewed by Pac-12, by the NCAA, by the FBI, and by the law firm that did the investigation for the University of Arizona, and none of them have found any indication that money changed hands into the hands of Ayton or any family or associates of him. So, you know, I think we just have to let this play out and see what happens and see what happens with the investigation and presume people are innocent until proven otherwise.
Bruce, some of your thoughts. In the court of public opinion, it looks very bad for the U of A.
Well, it's easy for somebody like Greg Hansen at the Arizona Daily Star to rush to judgment, which he has. In fact, even if Sean Miller turns out to be exonerated in this whole business, you know, the schism that has been created in Tucson, this is a town who, you know, our very kind of soul sort of rides on the success of Arizona athletics, particularly basketball. But there might be such a wide schism in town, you know, it could be difficult for him on a long-term basis to continue here. I think the point that Jeff just made regarding the arrest of assistant coach Brooke Richardson back in the fall, the interview with the FBI and so on, surrounding this case with Andrea Ayton. Jeff raises a very good point. If there was complicity at that time, that wiretap probably would have already taken place, because Chris Dawkins was long out of this thing, you know, once the thing broke in September. If Sean Miller had not been implicated at that time directly or indirectly, this just sounds to be too much of a stretch of imagination that conversation existed, it was caught on tape, and that, you know, he would face the kind of problems that potentially he does. But I think even if he does, there's a schism that's developed in this community. And, you know, this may lead to his departure, you know, on his own, maybe to take some other position elsewhere in sports.
Well, if you'll remember, midway through Lute Olson's career here, Greg Hansen got himself sideways with the program and with Lute Olson, and they weren't even on speaking terms for a long period of time. So this wouldn't be the first time.
He Greg did it with Hansen Dick Tolmie, did it with Larry Smith. I mean, he's been, you know, all over the place, you know, making accusations over the years. Hey, it's what you do to attract readers and sell papers, I guess.
Well, I don't know where all this is going to go, but it's either on tape or not, right, Jeff Rogers? That's going to be
one would think so, but yeah. If it's on tape, then it never happened. You know, that's still kind of bad for Coach Miller, but yeah. It's not as bad as if it actually did happen.
Well, we'll see what the University of Arizona does.
And look,
okay,
Sean Miller obviously had an eyeball-to-eyeball meeting with Bobby Robbins and Dave Hickey in the fall when this thing broke.
Right.
I don't know Sean Miller very well. I've talked with him on a couple of occasions, had dinner with him once. He doesn't appear to be the kind of guy that would look you in the eye, and you know that he had to look these guys in the eye back in the fall and say that he didn't do it. And you have to believe that when this thing broke on Friday, they had that same conversation with him again. There is no way that he said that he told a lie to these guys, or that he would have been successful in lying and not have given himself up and be asked to be shown the door. I don't think that he is a guy who would ever do something like this.
Hmm. Yeah, that's been my impression of him, and I've talked to him on the phone multiple times and when I was helping Josiah Turner early on in his career here, but I always got the impression that he really cared about these kids and wanted to see what was best for them.
Topic number two today, do you think it is 2018 midterm time, Jeff Rogers, do you think there will be any that Congress will be in the mood to do any kind of restrictions on firearms in this country?
I don't think so, because I think you won't get a majority of Republicans to get on board with the few things that the public is approving of. There was a CNN poll done this past weekend that showed 70% of people agreed that there ought to be a universal background checks and we ought to eliminate the gun show loophole. And in the high 60s, almost 70% of people agreed that we should ban the assault weapons and the high-capacity magazines. And if you look back in 10-year periods from they were banned from 84, I mean from 94 to 2004. And a recent study looked at the 10 years before that and the 10 years since then and showed that really the number of these mass shootings was cut almost in half, not quite in half, but almost in half during the period in which the ban took place. So it's not going to be a cure-all, but the American public is ready to see that happen, and there's a heavy majority of Americans, poll after poll after poll, show that they support that, but I don't think a majority of the Republicans in the House could wrap their arms around that. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, Jeff, there was an incident that occurred last week in a Pennsylvania high school. A young fellow, I think 16 years old, wielding a knife, slashed 22 of his classmates. 22 people. Now, nobody
died.
There were some serious injuries,
right?
But nobody died. You didn't hear a thing about that practically in the news.
It did get a lot less coverage.
Yeah,
because
there weren't any deaths.
We're like hyperbolic about all of this other business that's going on, and you know, this is as much a failure of law enforcement and crime prevention in the Parkland shooting as anything else. There were 34 different incidents that occurred in this boy's homes where he resided, resulting in different calls. There were tips to the FBI, tips to the sheriff's department, and then finally, when he did show up to be that expert, the professional school shooter, as he bragged apparently at some point in time in social media, the school resource officer cowered outside the doors of the school, didn't go in as well, and he would have been the first line of defense, certainly, and four other sheriff's deputies also stood behind their cars with their guns drawn, but absolutely no response from them.
Right. I can't disagree with you on that, Bruce. This was a real failure of law enforcement, including the FBI,
absolutely,
who had tips as well that this guy was going to be a school shooter. I mean, you had the incident, was it Mississippi or Alabama, where the guy calls in and says somebody posted something on my Instagram,
right,
or Facebook, and they failed to follow through on it. And that's a very interesting spelling of a name. It's not like there's going to be a lot,
right,
of people with that name spelled that way.
But what could they have done? Could they have arrested him?
Well, they could have interviewed
him,
and maybe they would have found that. Maybe the FBI then would have seen these other 30 incidents,
mm-hmm,
plus that Bruce is talking about, and they would have started to realize we've got a problem here.
Yeah,
and
I should say
you may have to commit this guy against his will, mm-hmm, and that would take his weapons away.
Yeah,
and you know, this young man may or may not be mentally ill. I don't know. I mean, I can't make an evaluation sitting where I'm at. He certainly doesn't appear to be a normal sort of guy. But you know, the problem with violence that we have in our society is really very, very serious. Whether it's road rage, whether it is the kind of really icky, nasty sort of stuff that occurs on social media, and whether it is the influence in our culture that violent movies, violent video games, and all these sorts of things where you can shoot somebody in a violent video game and there's no consequences and there's no death that takes place. And in real life, though, it's a different story.
But it doesn't change the fact that this is the only country in the world where this happens on a regular basis.
Oh, it happens elsewhere
as
well.
We will take our break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040, the Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we meet Barbara Sherry. Barbara is one of six Democratic CD2 hopefuls. Also, the amazing work being done by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers with me. Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Jeff, were you surprised the Democratic Party in California gave pretty much, well, they did give a non-endorsement to Dianne Feinstein?
Right, but they didn't endorse the other guy as well, so nobody got an endorsement. No, I'm not surprised. You know, just like with the Republican Party, oftentimes in many places, the state parties are really the people who are tremendous activists and participate in these state party conventions are the more extreme measure people in both Republican and Democratic Party. So I'm not at all surprised at that. It's you know, she represents part of the Democratic Party establishment. She's fairly moderate.
Fairly moderate.
Yeah, I think Dianne.
She voted wrong on a couple of things. They turned on her.
Yeah, she's pretty moderate and always has had that reputation. And you know, the sort of Bernie bots have sort of taken over the that part of the party. And you know, it's I don't think that's good in the long run for Democrats. I think more centrist candidates are better positioned to win statewide and national races, both here and even in California.
Hmm. Bruce,
well, I think Jeff's identification of this problem for Senator Feinstein is spot on. She's still going to win the primary. I think got millions of dollars in the bank. De Leon has raised, what, 329?
Yeah, she's got 10 million.
Yeah. So this is, he's going to get squashed like an ant.
And the polling shows that as well.
Sure. She's up by like 30 plus points in whatever poll they've run. He barely has a pulse. But it does say something, and Jeff's spot on. The same sort of, you know, whether it's conservatives on one side or the left in the Democratic Party, there's a lot of hard right and hard left that's going on in amongst the activists. And I do think you can run too far to the right and it costs you in elections, and you can run too far to the left and it's going to cost in elections as well. There may be some seats that, you know, would remain with Democrats if it didn't go too far to the left. And we've seen with Republicans, when you go too far to the right, what happens there sometimes.
Well, California's got an interesting primary system now. They went to that top
jungle.
Two jungle primary, which I certainly don't approve of. But, you know, if there was a pretty moderate Republican here, you might see some change over there. It, you know, I don't think this serves California well, but I'm sure glad Arizona didn't pass it.
Yeah, and we've certainly talked about it. I'm not sure that it's, look, when you have it running in California and Louisiana, are there other states that have adopted it as well? I'm not.
Those are the only two I'm aware of.
Yeah. But politics in Louisiana is goofy, to say the least, and so is politics in California. I mean, look at the gas tax. Look at all the state tax stuff that's going on there, and they don't seem to be able to get ahead of any of the problems that they have.
Major case before the U.S. Supreme Court today, Bruce Ash, about union dues.
It is, and it's really, it's a kind of a continuation of a case that came before the court, and I think the final decision was made or not made, you know, when Scalia, you know, after he died. This one...
It deadlocked 4-4.
Right.
Which meant that the prior decision by the Ninth Circuit was upheld, which is where, you know, basically the liberals won. But this is going to be a different story, I think, because you've got the same 4-4, but you've got the new Judge Gorsuch.
Hmm. And I think the facts probably, in this case, probably favor an opinion in support of the plaintiff here, who's made a great point that you know, people ought to have a right to decide, particularly in a public sector union kind of a situation, whether they want their money going to political means.
And these are union dues that would be without the they would go to the union even if someone didn't want them to
go
to the union.
Right, right. And look. And
what states are we talking about?
Well, California, it's a California case. Okay. California is a right. It is not a right-to-work state.
Okay.
In the right-to-work states, you can decline to be part of the union. And in states like California, and even previously in my home state of Indiana, they could say to you, you're getting the benefits of this union representation. Therefore, it's a closed shop and everybody has to join and pay the dues. I believe in California, you can withhold the dues that go for a political purpose. And in this case, it reaches only those dues that go to the organizing to basically get better pay and benefits. And so what will happen, though, is if the Republicans prevail on this, then people will have no incentive to pay union dues at all. They can become free riders, and it'll be up to people who voluntarily pay union dues to support the unions. And that could be, you know, a real, real harmful problem for unions, period, and for getting better pay and benefits. And it's going to have the ancillary effect of really affecting the Democratic Party a great deal, because that's where a lot of Democratic Party support comes, and it will dry up.
Who is this gentleman over the weekend was saying the Republican National Committee person saying some nasty things about the committee? Who is that?
Well, Ian Walters is a spokesperson for CPAC.
Right.
Ian made a comment which probably didn't come out the way he had intended it, but he certainly didn't have a very good result from it. He said Michael Steele was elected RNC chairman in 2009 because he was a black guy. Look, Michael Steele was elected. Of the two African Americans in that election, Michael Steele was the weaker of the two. Ken Blackwell would have been a far, far better chairman for the RNC. I was at that election. I saw what was going on. And I was also there for the 2 years that Michael Steele was party chairman. We probably haven't had a worse party chairman for the RNC in the past century. Michael Steele was not a very good manager. He was not a very good fundraiser. He was aloof. He was unapproachable. He self-served and self-dealt. He proudly told me and others that he was the second most powerful man in the United States. He had bodyguards. He had private limousines. You know, we're a pretty low key party on a national level, believe it or not. And certainly Reince Priebus fit, you know, sort of the working man's model of an RNC chairman. We had very, very serious problems. He left us with $24 million in debt and practically no money in the bank. And when Reince Priebus and the new regime came in 2011, they were using their own American Express cards to pay RNC bills, including payroll for that first month. Pretty incredible. That's how he left the RNC.
All right. Jeff Rogers, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it
very
much.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Bruce, always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Dodge and Fort Lowell presenting our Monday political face-off. You can find out more about Moe's at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon, this portion presented by Green Things. Well, this is perfect time of year here, this transition time from February into March, to start thinking about your spring and summer garden. So I strongly suggest a visit to 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk. That is Green Things on 13 acres. Also, they have a fine website. That's a good starting place to find out what they have available, greenthingsaz.com. They have some great workshops coming up. Usually they're at 10 a.m. and again, 2 in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday. Let's go now on the live line to the town of Oro Valley. Dr. Satish Hiremath is the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, and he's taken a break from his probably heavy patient load on a Monday afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. You hit the nail right on the head. Mondays is usually pretty hectic.
Well, is it some folks who've had difficulty with maybe a crown fell off or something else over the weekend?
Exactly. we get toothaches at our eyes, crowns, you know, breaking, teeth breaking. So, yeah, it's Monday's usually a pretty hectic day, so this is a very nice reprieve for me.
Well, tell me a little bit about Oro Valley is going to have to make a decision whether to put about $5 million into that struggling golf operation that we have talked in. Where are we on this now?
Well, so, you know, in 2 years and one day, we actually paid off the $1 million. So we now outright own the 320-plus acres that the golf, the tennis, the community center sits on. And 2 years ago, during our first year of ownership, we lost $868,000. Last year, we lost $600,000. So this year, the fund is actually slated to break even. And, yes, that's even including the golf. So one of the commitments that we had said that we would always do is that when we kind of stabilized all the bleeding, so to speak, that we would take a hard look and see what we needed to do and make those prudent decisions. And this is really just that decision-making time. So what we're looking at doing is, you know, the critics have always been saying that we should not be in the restaurant business and we should actually not be in the golf business. So what we're looking at doing, according to the town manager's conclusions, are liquidating the Overlook restaurant is her recommendation, in addition to cutting the number of holes from 45 holes of golf to 36 holes of golf. And part of that really is in order, you know, when you buy something that's a fixer-upper, you have to invest in it in order to reap the benefits. You know, it's a very old system. The irrigation systems haven't been touched in decades. And so the total amount that we're looking at doing for an investment is $5 million, but that's inclusive of community center rehabilitation at large, which includes the golf.
What? How big is the footprint? What are we talking about? Give our listeners an overview.
Well, so the footprint for the entirety is about 320-some acres in the middle of our town. And we had structured a deal with the then-current owners of the land to buy all of that, which includes 45 holes of golf, two pools, a restaurant, a building that we converted to a community center, 31 tennis courts, for $1 million interest-free over 3 years. And because we run on a fiscal year, we actually paid it off in cash over 2 years and one day. And to give you an idea of the scope of that, Bill, one tennis court cost $250,000 to build.
What?
So just in tennis alone, we got 31 tennis courts. So it was an incredible bargain for the town of Oro Valley.
So that is my next question. When all is said and done, you've had your critics and they come to the meetings. Was this a good investment?
It was a great investment because what people don't realize is that on the majority of that acreage, single-family home entitlements were already allowed. And so what would have happened if the town refused to actually enter into this agreement is that a developer would have bought it, and where you see golf, you would see homes. And so for us, it was kind of a no-brainer, to be honest with you. And we knew we were going to take that heat. Lou Waters, Joe Hornet, Mary Snyder, and I, who were on the council, who actually voted to acquire it, because it came down so quickly and so fast, and people really didn't have a time to digest it. But, you know, that's why we got elected. That's why elected officials are elected, is to make those decisions, and sometimes time is of the essence. And in this particular case, I guarantee you, instead of looking at beautiful open space, you would be looking at multi-development housing. Obviously not on all the holes, because there's ingress-egress issues, but certainly along La Cañada, where the 36 holes are, and even some development along the Push Ridge course, which is the 9-hole up by the Hilton.
Is it expensive to operate in terms of the water usage for Oro Valley?
It is, and that's why we're looking at actually redoing the irrigation system. Along with the irrigation system, we're looking at turf reduction. So basically, you know, what we had encouraged is, you know, lay the new irrigation system out, and then wherever that is, then that's where the turf reduction is going to go. So, you know, just like with anything else in household appliances, technology has gotten so much better and so much more efficient that, you know, once you invest in it, you can actually recoup your total investment on that. And that's what we're looking at doing right now.
How about this group that is running it? Is it called Troon, the private golf management consultant? Are they doing a good job?
They are doing a very good job. As a matter of fact, from a playability standpoint, anybody who plays on that course says that, wow, you know, I mean, this course has not had the playing conditions it has currently in the last 15 years that they can remember.
What about what will happen now to the Outlook restaurant?
Well, and again, it's the town manager's conclusion that we actually liquidate that. You know, we're kind of bursting at the seams for fitness, and we're kind of bursting at the seams for really meeting space. The town of Oro Valley doesn't really have any bricks and mortar. Prior to the acquisition of the this purchase or this community center, realize every parent in the town of Oro Valley had to take their child to summer camps outside of the town of Oro Valley. So now that we actually have the bricks and mortar, there's a lot more wanting of things like yoga classes and paraplegic physical therapy classes, classes for the veterans. And so what we're looking at doing is we can utilize that entire top space and that top floor for more health and fitness activities and relocate everything upstairs and then reconfigure the downstairs to add more meeting space, so to speak, for, Mahjong is a huge thing up at the community center, as is Bridge, believe it or not.
Really? Bridge?
Oh, yeah. And so to provide these user groups a place to go to where they don't have to compete with a restaurant that, quite frankly, is struggling, and it's just not cost-effective to actually run that restaurant anymore. So this will all be decided at the budget study hearing. The tentative one is set for, I think, May, and then we're looking to hopefully do the final budget adoption in the first meeting in June. And so the general public will have a chance to actually weigh in and input. But right now, you know, we're just kind of listening to what the town manager's conclusions are. And I think that her plan is to create more meeting space and more community space, because it is a community center, and serve some of the population or residents that we're not currently serving now because we're just limited on space.
What is your budget proposal for the new fiscal year that begins July 1st?
Actually, she's still putting that together. And so I don't know that as yet. I think this year we ended up at $119 million for the total budget. And so we had a study session because we had too many different directions, or too many different options is a better way to put it, all having a different price tag. And so coming out of this study session, we actually ended up choosing this as a placeholder. And so nothing's in concrete, but she's actually kind of putting the budget together right now as we speak. And we just needed to, as a council, give her a placeholder for the community center. This is, I think, where the direction we're going to go, and it's a good place for a starting point discussion.
But you can assure the residents of Oro Valley that the city is in good, or the town is in good financial condition?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the last 7 out of the 8 years I've been mayor, the last consecutive 7 years, we've run not only a balanced budget, but we've run a budget with a surplus. And so last year we ended the surplus of $2 million that we put into our general fund. And that was inclusive of all the critics talking about how the restaurant's losing money and the golf's losing money. We still ended overall with a $2 million surplus.
Hmm. All right, Dr. Hiremath Satish, thank you very much for joining us. I'll let you get back now. You've probably got your patients. Just the waiting room is just jammed. Folks wanting to see you. You've got you're ready to go there to take care of their needs. Thank you very much, Mayor.
My pleasure, Bill. Have a great day.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Is the Buckmaster Show now 11 minutes toward 1 o'clock on this delightful Monday afternoon. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great getaway, whether it's a midweek getaway or over for the weekend. It's just 3 hours approximately from Tucson, and there is so much to do over there. You can go hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City. The world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument is a lovely drive just north of Silver City, so it's a great place just to hang out in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many places to stay, some very fine accommodations in the area, and there's some great ideas for your recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Liz Sparks. Liz is the executive director of what is known as Tucson's Village Farm. How are you, Liz?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I, along with our listeners, will be learning pretty much for the first time. I had not heard about Tucson Village Farm. What is it?
So Tucson Village Farm, you've probably driven by it a million times.
Probably.
It's right on Campbell by the big U of A Campus Agriculture Center. We're actually on that same property. And Tucson Village Farm is an urban education farm that teaches kids how to grow, prepare, and eat fresh food and empowers them to make healthy life choices.
So, yeah, I know the farm. We all, if you've driven on Campbell, you've seen the horses and the goats and sheep sometimes. Right. So are you on that side of Campbell or are you on the other side?
So we're actually on both sides.
Both sides.
So we started the farm in 2010 on the east side of Campbell in front of the Pima County Cooperative Extension Office. We're a program of the Extension Office. And then in 2014, we expanded to the west side. So now we're on both sides of the farm.
Tell me a little.
Or Campbell, excuse
okay.
me.
So tell me how we've all, most of us have heard of 4-H and helping kids learn about agriculture and animals, and I think they call it husbandry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've heard about that. And what's the connection to what you do with 4-H?
So we're a program of the Extension Office, which is where the 4-H is housed. And we do, as a 4-H program, we teach kids life skills. So we want to teach all those great life skills to make our kids healthy and happy adults. And we do that right at the farm. So we actually are a 4-H program, just not a traditional one you've heard of with animals and that sort of thing. So.
Well, certainly there is a problem with American children. They're at a high risk. Actually, 1 in 3, Liz, as you know, have high risk of obesity. So, and diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and other nutritionally driven health problems are a big issue. So what are you doing to try to turn that around?
So we teach kids how to eat vegetables. We know that so many of these diseases are preventable if we can get kids to eat vegetables. Only 2 out of 100 kids eat enough vegetables. So we teach kids how to prepare them in a way that they can find them delicious. And then they take that information home and share it with their families. We have an opportunity for families to come every Tuesday to our U-Pick from 4 to 6 and harvest vegetables that are grown right there at the farm. And we'll help you learn how to prepare them, too.
And how do you screen what kids are eligible to come and take part?
On that Tuesday U-Pick, anyone's available. Bill, you can come down and harvest.
Really?
Yeah.
I can come down and harvest some fresh produce?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
So our intention is that that our food goes back to the kids that come to programs. Mm-hmm. But some weeks we have extra, and that extra we want to get into the community. So that's what happens. We have an average of 300 kids that come through our programs each week. And so, but sometimes we have extra food.
And what type of food do you have?
Right now, we have a bumper crop of broccoli. We've got all of the greens. We're finishing up with our carrots, but lots of beautiful kale and collards and chard all ready to be picked.
And do you kind of go the organic route or what?
We do. We do grow organically. It's so kids can walk through the farm and pop a tomato right in their mouth as they walk along. So, yes, we do.
Tell me then, when the kids arrive, you go through these kids, a lot of them probably say vegetables. I don't want vegetables. I'm into fast food. So you've kind of got a re-education there.
Yes, we do. We have to teach kids and adults alike how fresh food can taste delicious. But there's nothing more magical than a kid pulling a carrot out of the ground and seeing it for the first time. And they love it. They think it tastes delicious. I think every week, I can't tell you how many kids say, oh, I'll never eat that. And then they leave the farm munching.
How about the connection to El Rio?
Right. So we have a great program with El Rio Health Centers and the University of Arizona Medical School. And that's a program that's sponsored by the Howery Foundation. And it is where a doctor, a partnering pediatrician, writes a prescription for families that are at high risk of the diseases you mentioned before to come to the farm and learn healthy living strategies. And the program has been a great success. We've had lots of families participate in this pilot program that we've done thus far this year.
How are you funded, Liz?
Our program is funded all through grants, program fees, and donations that we raise ourselves. So this Howery program sponsors the pharmacy program, which has been great. But we do have to we run essentially as a nonprofit under the University of Arizona Foundation.
And you work, as you say, with the UA College of Medicine, right?
We do with our pharmacy program.
With the pharmacy program.
Right, right.
And so they're one of your partners along with El Rio Health Centers.
Correct.
So if there's some parents out there that would like to take the kids to perhaps learn about this kind of thing, when can they show up or how do they do it?
Well, there's lots of ways to get involved with the farm. We have a lot of programs, not just the pharmacy program that we mentioned before, but we have our U-Pick that happens on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And then we have a whole slew of camps that we're getting ready to happen this summer where we do a whole seed-to-table program during our camps. And you can sign up for those right online at our website, which is www.tucsonvillagefarm.arizona.edu.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And they can you can find a camp that's just right for your child and your child's interests.
How many camps do you have?
We have 5 this summer.
You want to quickly go through them? We've got a few minutes.
Sure.
Okay.
We have a Sprouts camp. That's for the youngest kids. We know that doing that vegetable intervention early is a great thing. So we've got camps for little kids. We've got a farm camp, which is our and kids come out and they harvest wheat and they mill it into pizza dough. We've got an adventure camp where we take older kids up to Prescott and we sleep out under the stars for a few nights. And then we have a farm flavors camp, which is a culinary camp where kids can learn some skills that way. So those are the camps that we do all through the summer. We also have a healthy living ambassador program, and that's for kids age 12 and up, where we teach them life and leadership skills, and they help out on the farm all the time.
And again, the website to learn about the camps
is tucsonvillagefarm.arizona.edu.
Okay. How'd you get involved in this?
So I've been with the Extension Office for almost 17 years doing positive youth development. So I've spent my career creating experiences for kids to make them better adults.
Well, we certainly need a lot of that. And University of Arizona is a land-grant university. So each land-grant university in the country has this cooperative extension associated with the universities. Is that correct?
Correct. Uh-huh. And the extension office, every county in the entire United States has an extension office, and that is directly connected with whatever land-grant university is there. And there's a lots of research and lots of resources that is at the extension office that's open to the public at any time. So anyone can come to the extension office and get lots of great information.
All right. And if you didn't get the full website address, probably just Googling Tucson Village Farm will do it for you, right, Liz?
Yeah, that's right. And liking us on Facebook, we're always posting great things.
Oh, good. You're at Facebook as well. All right. Liz, very much appreciate you talking with us. Liz Sparks, the very engaging speaker and executive director of the Tucson Village Farm. Thank you very much, Liz.
Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, we've got Mic Check with Mike Shaw. And if you haven't heard, Mike's show now has expanded to 2 hours. So they're on from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, Ray Allen helping Mike out. So put it all together with our program during the noon hour, Mike in the afternoon, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9 in the morning. It all adds up to 6 hours of local talk that we have here on KVOI during the week. And of course, on the weekends, all sorts of local talk programs for you. All of it here on KVOI. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We urge you to join us tomorrow. We'll be speaking with one of the 6 CD2 Democratic candidates. Barbara Cherry will be joining us. We'll meet her tomorrow on the program. Shelley Fishman will have our certified financial planning and is our financial program, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. So we've got a full show for you tomorrow. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.